622 1320 WILS. So Ford today making this huge announcement, really, that they're going to now be building the Focus, the Ford Focus in China. Is this the beginning of a trend? Rebecca Lindland is with us, executive analyst at Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. Rebecca, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Thank you so much for having me on again.
How big of a story is this, Rebecca, in your view, that Ford made this announcement?
Well, you know, it's a combination. It's both big and small. and I say that because it's definitely a change in strategy for the Ford Focus, for sure. But it's also good news in that they're able to, you know, save $1 billion, I mean, $500 million by this announcement, just by building the car in China.
They were going to build it in Mexico, right? That was the plan?
Right. So they had originally planned on a $1.6 billion new plant in San Luis Potosi in New Mexico. And they're not going to do that anymore, which they had announced in January. Instead, they're going to bring the car over from China. And this actually allows more room for the Bronco SUV and the Ranger at their Michigan assembly plant in Wayne. And then they can also save, you know, it saves $500 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that is. Tell me this. Do any other automakers build cars, especially U.S. automakers, build cars in China and sell them over here?
Yes. So the Buick Envision, which is a midsize crossover, that is exported from China for the U.S. I actually drove it a number of months ago now, and it was terrific. I have a Buick Encore myself, and it's just a bigger version of that. It drives really well. I mean, you know, the thing is, Michael, that nowadays there's a lot of people that just don't pay attention to where their vehicles are made. Right. You know, I often tell people, you know, a BMW X5 or X6 owner probably has no idea that their vehicle is made in Spartanburg.
Wow. Tell me this, Rebecca, is this something we're going to see more of now, more automakers deciding to save money and build in China?
I do think that we're going to see some more of this. I don't know that it's going to be an overwhelming trend for us, but I do think that, you know, certainly companies like Volvo, who's owned by Geely, is going to start importing. They are importing a little bit. We're trying to find out exactly what they're importing, but I don't think this is going to be a massive trend.
Why is that, though?
That we'll see it every once in a while.
I mean, is the labor cost issue not there? I mean, do they pay a lot less for labor in China than they do here?
You know, I'm going to go on the assumption that they do, but I'm not sure. I think it's more that the economies of scale that you can get in China certainly help keep costs lower.
Okay. And this is the first time Ford has done this, right?
This is definitely a first for Ford. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it's a little counterintuitive because you think, wow, shipping that product, you know, from China is a long way. But, you know, they probably said the same thing when we started importing vehicles from Europe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's just one of those things that we knew it was going to happen eventually.
Right. And these are Fords. There's probably going to be a point where the Chinese start shipping their own brand of cars, whatever they're going to be over to us.
Right. Well, now that will certainly be a very different story if China can actually penetrate with the Chinese brand into the U.S. market. Yeah. But the reality is that there's so much pent-up demand in their own market that, you know, it's tough to say whether they would really be, whether it makes sense for them to come into the U.S. market where, you know, we potentially may have even peaked in our sales cycle, at least for the next few years.
Yeah, are there good Chinese brands out there?
Volvo.
There you go. Hey, let me ask you this. Rebecca Lindland with us with Kelley Blue Book. This story, this is fascinating. The NTSB just came out today reporting that this driver that was killed driving this Tesla, this self-driving crash, that he was actually warned many times by the vehicle to put his hands on the wheel. He did not do that. How significant is this?
You know, I think it vindicates them on some level. I mean, the thing is that what consumers need to know is that any autonomous system is unproven. It's not something that you can trust. I mean, you can't be blasé and you can't be naive to these things. Yeah. You've got to still pay attention to the driving on the road.
Have you tried these cars, these self-driving Teslas yourself? Or?
I haven't driven the Tesla yet. No, okay. They're not. They don't really accommodate media and analysts very well. So no.
Okay.
I will say I just had an Acura MDX, and that at one point gave me very stern warnings. Steering is required. Mm-hmm. I think I had taken my hand off the wheel for something, and. You know, but you can't ignore these warnings.
Right.
You've got to pay attention. These are new systems.
Yeah, I've never actually driven one of these vehicles. So you drove a self-driving Acura, you said?
No, it had like lane departure warning.
Okay.
It had some of the automated driver assisted systems or ADAS
right.
systems that we're starting to see more.
Because the Tesla, I should know, this is actually, it does drive on its own, right? I mean,
It does.
Okay.
It actually steers on its own, but it's what we would consider like a level three where it steers on its own, but you have to be ready to take over at any moment. And actually nowadays, most manufacturers and companies like Google, they understand that level three is not really viable. Humans just can't react in time to prevent an accident, which is exactly what we saw.
Okay. What does that mean? That if you've got your hands on the wheel, the expectation is that you're going to intervene as a human before a crash occurs, right?
Yes, exactly. So level three basically says the car can drive itself. However, you have to be prepared at any moment to take over.
Okay. So is this going to somehow end their attempts at this autopilot system that Tesla has, or?
Oh, no, gosh, not at all. I think that instead what we're going to see is that they're going to just improve their systems. And I don't think it's right that it would end it. I think that what we really want to see is not only that consumers understand what their car can and cannot do,
mm-hmm.
but that they're used appropriately and they're used safely.
Is your sense that the driver in this accident was not driving it appropriately?
My sense is, and I know that there's different witnesses' accounts that have come out, but my sense is that he was not paying full attention mm-hmm. like you still need to be doing.
Right. Well, it's confusing because, I mean, the car is driving itself, yet you're supposed to pay attention. You almost don't know what to do. Rebecca Lindland, executive analyst for Kelley Blue Book. It's KBB.com. Rebecca Lindland, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much for having me on again.